Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Bare Naked Ladies. That's hilarious. Steve Paulette, you're amazing. I don't know where you find this music. But we love it every Saturday morning. Thanks so much for joining and telling all your friends. I want to talk about the power of words today. But before I do that, let's take a call. He's been hanging on the line for a while. Tony in Santa Clarita. Tony, you're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hey, Dr. Clapper, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Good. Hey, I called you a couple weeks ago. You might remember me. I'm the private investigator.
Oh, yes. Who was actively on the job at the time you called.
Correct. And today I'm actively on the job, but I'm actually driving to my case. So
okay.
I had a quick question for you that you said at the end of our call, and you had... When I got on the line with you, it was towards the end of your show, so you didn't have a lot of time.
Okay.
You're the first orthopedic surgeon that has... You said something to me, and you're the first one to say it to me, and I just need to know why. When I told you I had a root tear of my meniscus, you said good.
Yes.
You're the first one to say good, and I need to know why.
Well... Are you ready for some Clapper Vision, Tony?
I absolutely am.
And the number, by the way, is 877-710-ESPN if you all need some Clapper Vision in your life as well. Everything about being a surgeon, about being a doctor, relates to the anatomy, Tony. Otherwise, it doesn't really matter to me. In the sense that it's the real deal. The anatomy tells you how the outcome is going to be. Is the fracture going to heal? Is the cancer going to spread? Is the pain going to go away? It's all about the anatomy. So when you think about the meniscus, the Clapper Vision I like to use is a slice of apple pie. The crust, the thick crust of that Marie Callender's French crumble apple pie, which I love, the crust is wide and thick. And when you make that triangular slice of the pie, it starts to taper and get thinner as it gets to the tip of the slice of the pie. If you looked at your meniscus, you would see that the rim of the meniscus, that cartilage cushion between the femur and the tibia, the thigh bone and the shin bone inside the joint, has a thick crust, a thick rim. That's where the blood supply is. That's where the circulation is. Unfortunately, as the slice of pie goes to the middle of the slice and towards the tip of the slice of the pie, you lose the blood supply. And in this book that I wrote with Linda Huey called Heal Your Knees, you'll see a chapter that I devote to talking about the anatomy of the meniscus. We actually call the slice of pie, the meniscus, three different zones: the tip, the crust, and the stuff in the middle. We call the crust the red zone. That's really the root of the meniscus, is that area rich in blood supply. If ever there was going to be a meniscus that could heal the blister becoming a callus, any kind of tear in that area, makes me optimistic to say good. Because if ever there was going to be a meniscus tear that's going to heal, even heal on its own without surgery, that's the area. But if you needed to put stitches in a meniscus tear, this is the area you want. If you present to my office with a meniscus tear that's complex or involves the tip called the white zone, meaning it's white because there's no red, there's no blood supply there, or what do we call the middle of the meniscus, the middle of the slice of pie? We call it the red-white zone, where it's 50-50 whether it's going to work or not. So if you come to me with a tear where the tip of the meniscus is the white-white zone, it's extremely unlikely healing will take place there. Your best bet is keep riding the bike, keep being in the pool. Can you do your own surgery by making that frayed tip where the tear is a blister, which hurts, into a callus that you can grind it down yourself by just being active with the right kind of exercise? But if you've got a meniscal root tear, there is a chance that this will go on to heal. It's the best location, in my opinion, for a person to have a torn meniscus. Does that make sense?
That You made the most sense to me to any orthopedist I've spoken to.
Okay, well,
that's made. So I really appreciate it. So you're saying where I tore it, I got the most blood supply there.
Correct. Exactly. At the root, that's really the best. And if God forbid it doesn't go on to heal, how old are you? 49. I'm not so quick to tell you to have surgery on your meniscus. I'll tell you right now, and I'm not so quick to tell you to have a knee replacement either. But you have a good chance of getting this to heal on its own. Delete from your life the bad exercises, the treadmill, the lunges, the squats, the stair machines, the weights on your legs. Stop doing that. You're about to turn 50. Those are bad exercises for you. What's a good exercise for you? The pool, the bike, the elliptical. Those are better for you to keep your quad, your hamstring, your calf muscles strong. And let's hope a blister becomes a callus, which I think is a very likely for you, and you will live happily ever after with a knee that doesn't hurt. Don't let them stick cortisone shots or other needles, stem cells, other. Don't be doing any needles into your knee, in my opinion.
So is it just the needle you don't like as opposed to the platelets or the stem cells?
I mind less when the answer comes from your own body rather than the drug company, but I still love being holistic in general because we don't know the long term of any of these things. And I mean long term. So
now
your body's the best healer, Tony.
He did say to me, and I don't know if you remember 2 weeks ago, I told you I'm a rather big guy, but he did say to me that stitching up the root, he said those surgeries are 50-50 at best because a lot of times they re-tear. And he goes, and obviously the bigger you are, the more weight you have on your knees. And
my answer to you is, Tony, you'll be better off without an operation if you can get this blister to become a callus, if you can get it to heal. Delete the stuff, take some weight off, change the way you exercise. That's the way I would want to be with your current state. If it fails, what is it now? It's going to be January. If come March or April, this is still a problem, then I'd get a new MRI and see what the status of your knee is before I would plunge into surgery.
Why have I, any discomfort I had, doctor, when I first did it made sense to me. It was at the back of my knee where the tear was. That's mm-hmm. all gone. I haven't gotten any discomfort there in months. If I do get discomfort, it now feels like it's in my patella tendon.
Okay, then it's probably not coming from that. So you need to take your weight off, change your exercise routine. You're sitting in a van for lots of hours. That ain't good for a 49-year-old big guy's knee. You need to make time out of your week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, to do the pool, walk back and forth in the water for half an hour. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, ride, buy on Craigslist, a used spinning bike from Schwinn.
I have one.
Yeah, well, you need to take the clothes that you have hanging on them. You have to take them off so you can use the bike Tuesday, Thursday.
I ride the bike 5 days a week, Doc. I do.
Don't do it 5 days a week. Do it 3 days a week and only do it for a half an hour.
That's all I do it for.
Good.
Half hour.
All right, Tony. A pleasure. Thanks so much.
Listen. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Find a total stranger today, Tony. Do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me. All right. God bless you. He's back on the case. All right. Let's take a break. And when I come back, the number is 877-710-ESPN. I've got so much to talk about. I also want to talk about this new Corvette. I'm a Corvette guy, but I'm not so sure I want to step up for this new car that they've made, which has changed the whole idea. But there is one aspect of this car that's fascinating to me, which is the suspension. They're not using the same technology that we've used in the past to support the car's suspension. You know what they're using now? Similar to what those bullet trains are. And I'll tell you more coming back. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors show here on ESPN LA 710. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. The number is 877-710-ESPN. So great to be back on the air. Telling stories. Talking about food. I had the best ham Christmas Eve. I grew up. I'm Jewish. We don't have ham. But I look forward to going to my friend Ann and Jerry's house every Christmas Eve because they got waiting for me. A honey-baked ham. Oh, my God. All I got to think about is one thing. What kind of mustard am I going to use on my honey-baked ham? And, of course, I use Jewish delicatessen mustard on the honey-baked ham, which I don't think is legal. Can you imagine Hebrew National deli mustard on honey-baked ham? It's not designed for that. It's designed for a hot dog or a brisket sandwich, not ham. You know, when you die, you have your exit meeting with God. I cannot wait to have my exit meeting. He's going to look at me and go, you know why I called you up here early, Dr. Clapper? By the way, can we talk about my knee after our exit interview? I'm going to say, God, free orthopedic care for the rest of our time together. He's going to say, what is up with you with the kosher deli salt mustard and a honey-baked ham? But, man, is it good. I do want to talk about Corvettes, though. I just go see that movie Ford versus Ferrari. You'll get to see what old cars are really like. I just love the whole story behind the Corvette. So the new Corvette coming out, they took the engine from the front of the car and they moved it into the middle like a Lamborghini or a Ferrari, which is really a revolutionary idea. But what they did with the suspension is fascinating to me. You know why the bullet train can go so fast? It's because a bullet train doesn't have wheels. Did you know that? That's why it can go so fast. It's suspended by a magnet. What's a magnet? Well, the opposites attract, right? They kiss each other when you have a positive and negative charge. Boom. But when you have two of the like charge, two negatives, they repel each other. So the suspension system in the new Corvette is based on a magnetic suspension. Not the typical shock absorber springs and all the rest of it. You can adjust it with the magnet. Oh, my God, I just think that's the greatest thing in the world. But I'm a traditionalist. I'm not so sure I'm going to go out and buy the new version of the Corvette for those reasons. I like the fact that it's the one that I have is just fine for me. Thank you very much. And my favorite is the 63. Not the split window, but actually the convertible. And I put music in the glove compartment, it's a CD player. We don't even do those anymore. But I play music from 1963 while I'm driving around in a 1963 Corvette. It's like a time machine. It's fantastic. And speaking of 1963, our show today is about the power of words. This is Mario Savio on the steps of Sproul Hall doing a clap revision. This is during the free speech movement in the 60s. When Berkeley was taken over by the students, Mario Savio, their leader, doing a clap revision, talking about, hey, we're students. We're not pieces of equipment and a factory, and the university's the factory. The hair on the back, on your back will stand up listening to him.
Well, I ask you to consider, if this is affirmed, and if the Board of Regents are the Board of Directors, and if President Kerr, in fact, is the manager, and I tell you something, the faculty are a bunch of employees, and we're the raw materials. But we're a bunch of raw materials that don't mean to be have any process upon us, don't mean to be made into any product, don't mean to end up being bought by some clients of the university, be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
And here's the clap revision. He uses the word odious. I've never heard that word used before or since, but he uses it correctly in this powerful speech, the great Mario Savio.
There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Oh, God, I just love it. I got inspired to have Mario Savio's speech, to have JFK's speech, because of John Wooden and the power that he got out of using words. He was a poet. He was an English teacher, in addition to being a coach, a true Renaissance man. In sports, nothing like him. Listen to John Wooden himself.
Make each day your masterpiece. I tried to do that as far as teaching, whether I was teaching English classes or whether I was teaching basketball, baseball, tennis, or whatever sport that I was teaching. Make each day your masterpiece. Yesterday's gone. You can do nothing about it. It'll never change. Tomorrow is yet to be. And the only effect you can have on tomorrow is what you do today. Today is the only day that really counts, so make each day your masterpiece. Don't expect great improvement. Just a little improvement each day, but a little each day soon adds up to quite a bit.
So John Wood and his power of words. But it was more than that. It's what he also didn't say. Listen to Kareem telling a story about what Coach Wooden, all the things that he did teach him. This is what he didn't tell him.
There was something I found out about Coach toward the end of his life that I hadn't known, that really shocked me. And it really is an indication of what his character was about. While Coach was coaching at Indiana State, his teams did very well. They were invited to the NAIA tournament, and the NAIA tournament was held in Kansas City. Coach got a call and said, your team did very well. We want you to come to the tournament, but you can't bring the black ball player that's on your team. And Coach Wooden told the guy, well, look, you know, we've gone through the whole season together. I'm not going to do that because we're going to stay together to the end of the season. So thank you for the invitation. And Coach hung up on him and didn't go to the tournament.
Wow.
So next year, Indiana State did better and had an even better record. And Coach Wooden got the same phone call at the same time of year with the same proposition. And Coach Wooden said, you know, I think you should know where this phone call is going. I don't think we're going to be able to come again. And before Coach could turn down the offer, they buckled down. They buckled in, rather. They gave in and allowed Coach Wooden to bring his black ball player.
Wow.
That was a blow for the civil rights movement, you know, at the very start of it. This is 1948. And I would have been very impressed when I first got here by that knowledge. Coach Wooden never, ever talked to me about that because he saw that as something that he should have done. And he was only doing the right thing, and he wasn't going to try to get any additional credit for it.
Because he had integrity.
He had that type of character. Now, I would have been as impressed as hell with him if he had told me that, but he didn't tell me that. He let our relationship develop and grow in the way that it should. And that's the most meaningful lesson I could get from him, his integrity. Coach Wooden helped me understand how to live and how to become a better person every day that I was with him. And it made it possible for me to see the right way to do things.
He used poetry. He used language. He used words as a tool. Here's a funny story Coach Wooden tells about his great-grandson.
One of my granddaughters and her husband had one of my great-grandsons. They were out eating in a Chinese restaurant. And he opened a Chinese cookie, which they gave, and it said, be quick, but don't hurry. And he said, is this where Papa gets all his sayings on the fortune cookies?
Just like Wooden twisted the words, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Listen in the art world to JFK, President Kennedy, twisting the words of fear.
So let us begin anew. Remembering on both sides that civility is not a sign of weakness and sincerity is always subject to proof. Let us never negotiate out of fear, but let us never fear to negotiate.
Men who knew how to play with words and make it such a powerful tool. And then when President Kennedy is inaugurated, here's his greatest speech.
I do not believe that any of us would exchange places with any other people or any other generation. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
And when JFK is taken from us too soon in life, a man who I admire the most for his ability to use words like none other. He happened to be an amazing guitar player and had a the most beautiful voice was folk singer Phil Oakes, who took his own life when he was 34 years old. Where? In Far Rockaway, New York, where I'm from. Thank you very much. But listen to him poetically talking about our poetic president. All inspired by knowing Neville Johnson would be here to talk about John Wooden and his Woodenisms. Here's Phil Oakes writing a song, sing. Listen carefully to the beautiful lyrics in this song.
Oh, the bullets of the false revenge have struck us once again, as the angry seas have struck upon the sand. And it seemed as though a friendless world had lost itself a friend. That was the president, and that was the man.
Here's another refrain.
Oh, I still can see him smiling there and waving at the crowd as he drove through the music of the band.
Band. It's going to rhyme it.
And never even knowing no more time would be allowed. Not for the president and not for the man.
Band and man. Here we go again.
Here's a memory to share, here's a memory to save, of the sudden early ending of command.
Command.
Yet a part of you and a part of me is buried in his grave. That was the president and that was the man.
And finally, one of my favorite Phil Oakes lyrics. A man so full of life, even death was caught off guard. Phil Oakes, about President Kennedy.
It's not only for the leader that the sorrow hits so hard. There are greater things I'll never understand. How a man so filled with life, even death, was caught off guard. That was the president, and that was the man.
Coming up next, I want to take you into the operating room. The number is 877-710-ESPN, and I want to take you through a shoulder replacement. What's it like as a surgeon to feel your skeleton? Take a pen and draw on your skin as I can visualize below the skin what your anatomy looks like. You'd think a shoulder replacement or shoulder surgery deep in the body is so complicated as muscles twist in front of you as a dance. But you'd be surprised what I'm going to tell you makes it one of the easier operations we can do because of the anatomy and how it lays out in front. You want to come into the operating room with me? Let's do it together. Coming up next, the numbers 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on ESPN LA 710. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. The number is 877-710-ESPN. But I want to take you into surgery with me. People come to me all the time. My shoulder hurts. They think it's their rotator cuff. They think it's a tendon, a muscle. But the exam tells me everything. They tell me they can't sleep at night. The pain is so bad. And then I'll have them face me in the exam room. I'll ask them to try to raise their hand straight in front of me. That's called forward flexion. And then bring their arm down. That's extension. To see if it matches their other arm. Then I'll ask them to try to lift their arm to the side. That's abduction or adduction, trying to reach out the window to put money in the, or pull the ticket for the parking, putting your arm straight out to the side. That's abduction. And then trying to shake someone's hand or touch your belly button. That's internal and external rotation. So it's six different planes of movement, flexion, extension, abduction, adduction, and internal and external rotation. And the key is to compare it to their other shoulder. If they can't match that, then something's blocking the motion, which is the fact that the cartilage, the brake pad, has worn out and now the rotor is exposed. It's bone on bone. You take an x-ray. What do you look for on the x-ray? You look to see if the space between the two bones has disappeared. You look to see if, kind of like looking at a candle where the wax has dripped, you see bone that literally looks like dripping wax. Those are spurs or osteophytes. Osteo in Latin means bone, and a fight is a spike of bone. You look for bone spurs, joint space narrowing. It's important to get an MRI in addition to the x-ray because you want to make sure that the rotator cuff and the tendons that help move are still okay. The reason the movement is gone is because the ball and socket joint just doesn't fit. You're reassured that the tendons and the muscles are okay. And if they're not, then you do something called a reverse shoulder replacement. But we'll get into that another time. A young person who's young and athletic and active, but it could be a housewife. It could be a person who works in IT. It doesn't necessarily have to be a person who's an athlete. I take care of weekend warriors, not only professional athletes. So now you've tried to avoid surgery, not with cortisone shots, not with pills, but by trying to do exercises in the pool, on land. But if that pain persists and the lack of motion is there, yep, they now need surgery. Here's what's fascinating. You lie the patient on their back in the operating room. Anesthesia has been given. And now we can do it without putting you completely asleep. We can do it where your arm is asleep. It's called a regional anesthetic. And the first thing I do, just like when I look at a block of marble, how do you see Mary's face trapped deep in the stone? How do you look at someone's skin and see through the skin at the artery, the nerve, the tendons, the bones? Well, I do 500 surgeries a year for 31 years. Thousands and thousands of times I've done this. With my left hand, I'm a righty, I've trained it to actually feel the surface anatomy. I feel your clavicle. I feel the tip of your shoulder. I feel where they come together, the acromioclavicular joint. I push a little bit deeper, and I can feel what's known as the coracoid process, which is a prominence of bone that comes from the back of your shoulder blade to, believe it or not, sticking just underneath the skin in the front of your shoulder. If you dig deep enough, you can feel it. It's the coracoid process, this bony protuberance. To me, that's the landmark. That's what I'm going to be shooting for. So the top of my incision is going to be at that coracoid process. And then it's going to go diagonally in front of your shoulder. It's called an anterior, because it's in front, deltopectoral incision. Because the incision is going to be between your deltoid muscle, which is that big, beautiful muscle on the outside of your shoulder. Dwight Howard probably has the biggest deltoid muscles I've ever seen. And the pec major, which is where your nipple is, your breast, that's the muscle in front of your chest. Well, believe it or not, there's a natural plane dividing these two distinct and separate muscles, and they have distinct and separate blood supply and nerves. So it's a perfect place to enter the shoulder joint because you're not going through the muscle. You're going through a natural separation between these two muscles. So when I take the scalpel and I cut through the skin, and I can now use a scalpel that has an electronic signal in it that cauterizes the bleeding. So there's no blood that's really lost to speak of in getting through the skin. The first thing that I look for, even though I see muscle on either side, is I carefully take my time to find, believe it or not, a vein. I'm looking for something called the cephalic vein, because the way we are put together, whether you believe in God or not, whoever put us together, put a big pipe, not an artery, but actually a vein that lives in the division line between the deltoid and the pec major muscle, two separate muscles. And I find, carefully dissecting, take my time, the vein. Once I find that vein, which runs diagonally, just like my incision, I have this beautiful feeling in my chest that, everything's going to be okay, because now I know where the two separate muscles are. And without cutting anything, I put down all the instruments that I use to get to this spot. And I literally take my two index fingers, my right and left index fingers, and I carefully, seeing where the vein is, separate the muscle right below the vein, because it's telling me that you're not cutting anything. You're just beautifully separating two separate muscles. Deep to that lives a tendon called the subscapularis tendon. This is the tendon, and it looks, its fibers move horizontally, not north-south, but east-west, horizontally, deep in your chest. And this is the tendon and muscle, part of the rotator cuff, that lets you touch your belly button and then shake someone's hand. It allows you to touch the belly button, internally rotate. It lives and crosses right in front of the ball and socket joint. I identify it. I know where the nerves are, where the veins and the arteries, so there's no bleeding. And you carefully cut with the electrocautery right through a portion of the tendon, and I can put stitches to tag it because I'm going to reattach it afterwards. But I make a north to south incision in a tendon that's moving east to west. And as I gently pull it away and elevate it, I am now looking at the ball and socket joint of your shoulder. All I need to do now is make a small incision north south in the front of the capsule and rotate your arm, and literally it's like delivering a baby. The ball of the ball and socket joint comes out, and it has spurs, and it's lost all its cartilage. I carefully can size it up and measure it and carefully remove just the destroyed cartilage on the ball, not the whole ball. You're not replacing all. You just need to remove that worn-out cartilage, and as I do, now there's more space for me to look in deeper. And what do I see now? The socket. And the socket, here's a clapper vision for you, is like a clock. But it's not looking at the wall where the clock, the round clock is on the wall telling you what time it is. This clock is actually facing not straight at me, 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 9 o'clock, like on the wall, but it's actually rotated. The clock is facing to the side, out to the side. So I'm seeing the edge of the clock, not the face of the clock. So now I have to use special tools called retractors to allow me to see the face of the clock deep inside, where also the cartilage is gone. I can go on for hours telling you about this surgery, but that's basically how I get into the shoulder joint, to restore the beautiful anatomy with different sizes. It's like a Home Depot for me in the operating room. Different clocks of different sizes. Will Chamberlain's clock is different than Willie Shoemaker, the jockey's clock. Everybody's different, so we have different sizes. Different size ball, different size clocks or sockets. And it's the ultimate in sculpture. It's the ultimate in being an artist, to be able to be a surgeon of bone. I tell people, I work in stone, Carrara marble, sculpting, and I work in bone. The gratification is hard to describe. Medicine. My mother was right. Robbie, do me a favor. First, you should be a doctor. Then you can do whatever you want. So I became a carpenter in the body. Beautiful. All right, coming up next, I just love this topic today of the power of words. That's why I love Clapper Vision so much, because it can paint a picture. We're going to hear more from Kareem, from President Kennedy, from Jay-Z. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors Show here on ESPN LA 710. Love this song. Having good times. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Nile Rodgers, Chic, Good Times. Every time I hear this song, Steve Paulette, it makes me feel like that very first time they gave me a stethoscope in medical school. And they said, go listen to heartbeats. Go into the clinics and the wards. listen for the systolic, the diastolic. Try to listen for a murmur. And you can just hear the boom, 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 boom. And I guess when the right song with the right beat hits you, it's like your heart is in tune, like a tuning fork. With the right music, it really does hit in the chest. And this is one of them. But today's topic is the power of words. I guess if you combine the right heartbeat, better known as beat, with the right words, the early rappers used good times. We did a whole show about this to launch hip hop. This was the stem cell, that song that you just heard, for a lot of rap artists. Nile Rodgers was like shocked, you know. I'm supposed to get a royalty if you guys are going to pirate my song. But there are plenty of rap artists who didn't, who recognized the beat and recognized rhyming and the poetry and the power of words. And nobody's done it better than my favorite, who's Jay-Z.
Yeah, I'm out that Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make
listen
it anywhere.
To the beat.
Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop it
the
home.
Rhyming.
All of my demeaning
the poetry.
Up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot. 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street. Off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy. Home of that
what talent.
Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top, sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high fives.
Knicks and Nets give me high fives. Poetry, power of words. Here's President Kennedy, like Jay-Z, they know how to use the language.
And no nation which expects to be the leader of other nations can expect to stay behind in this race for space.
Listen to the beat.
Those who came before us made certain that this country rode the first waves of the Industrial Revolution.
Raises his voice.
The first waves of modern invention.
Lowers
his
voice.
And the first wave of nuclear power.
Spreads out certain words.
And this generation does not intend to founder in the backwash of the coming age of space. We mean to be a part of it. We mean to lead it.
He's using the gap and the silence in between the words.
For the eyes of the world now look into space, to the moon and to the planets beyond. And we have vowed that we shall not see it governed by a hostile flag of conquest, but by a banner of freedom and peace. We have vowed that we shall not see space filled with weapons of mass destruction, but with instruments of knowledge and understanding.
JFK did the very same thing that John Wooden did, playing with the words. Be quick, but don't hurry. Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Here's JFK using the word fear.
So let us begin anew, remembering on both sides that civility is not a sign of weakness, and sincerity is always subject to proof. Mm. Let us never negotiate out of fear, but let us never fear to negotiate.
I leave you with Volare. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Next week, Claire Cunney. We're going to talk about artist Mark Rothko, who could not handle the fame. Cost him his life. That's what you wanted, to be successful, but he couldn't handle it. Who does that remind us in sports? We'll figure it out next Saturday on the Weekend Warriors Show.